of America and live from the G&B Show Studio. This is your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Welcome back, listeners around the world, to what's sure to be another great episode of your Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Hello, hello.
Hello. Are you talking to me? Is it my Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show?
It is. It is your Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. That's why you must pay the bills for the rest of the rest of our career. Huh? You like that?
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight will be the last Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Welcome back, guys. It's been a long week, but we are back here in studio, and we got a great show tonight. We got a lot of things. Yeah.
We've got some fun stuff planned. We've got news.
Yep, we got news. We got a lot of things to talk about. Hauntings. There's been some hauntings this week in the news, and there's been another great show getting ready to come out. We got to talk about that a little bit. Paranormal makes its way back to the big screen, if you will, and you know what I'm talking about, Nate. Talk about that. It's always good to see a ghost movie or something spooky come back out on the big screen. You know, I like that.
You know, ADD Radio here. Last night I watched Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. Okay.
Doctor Who, and he went ghost hunting in 1974.
You know, I seen a post on Facebook about that, and because I don't like Doctor Who, I
didn't
not a Doctor Who. I got to be honest. When I was growing up, I watched the old one with the goofy scarf, and I liked it. It was okay.
Tom Baker, yes.
Tom Baker, and that was a good one. He had curly hair. It was Brit humor, though. Which I nothing against Brit humor, because Monty Python, as everybody knows, is great. You know, Stacy owns a DVD of Monty Python. I just can't bring myself to watch him. I know, yeah, she's a witch, burn her. I know all that, and I do know the classic clips, but I just couldn't get through a Monty Python film. Now that's my rant. And you would think I would, because I like potty humor and goofy stuff. And did that hurt? Did it hurt? That's
man.
What I do, man. It was hard. It's hard to get through it.
But it's. You know, it's the perfect mixture of humor and science, and not so much science, but wibbly wobbly, timey wimey kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, what I was getting to last night. You
candy bars.
I'm listening. Now that's humor.
Ignoramus. What I was getting to was last night on Doctor Who.
On Doctor Who.
They did a special. Uh-huh. They did a regular episode where he went ghost hunting.
Right.
And I can't give too much away because, spoiler alert kind of stuff.
Okay.
But the ghost turned out to be a interdimensional kind of thing. Like, we've talked about the possibility on this show. It was almost as though they said, ghost hunting, this, that, the other thing, interdimensional, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, that's what it turned out to be.
Inconceivable!
So he confirmed your theory. Ghost hunting is over.
Thanks to Doctor Who, I am now the most acclaimed theoretical ghost hunting non-expert on the face of the earth.
Now, who's playing Doctor Who now? And why is it, let me ask you, you're a Doctor Who fan, why is it that Britain or wherever, this UK, anywhere in the UK, when they have a series like this, they feel the need to replace the main actor with 5 billion different actors? Can't we just stick with the same guy for like 20 years and be okay with it?
Not 5 billion different actors.
Yes.
It's 11 different actors. And
11.
They came up with the idea when the first Doctor Who decided to, leave the show. They said, well, how do we keep doing the show without Doctor Who? They said, well, when he dies, he turns into somebody else.
Uh-huh.
Inconceivable!
Exactly. But the great idea is when the body changes, the brain changes too, the brain chemistry, so the new actor gets to play the Doctor however he wants to play it.
Oh! So, I don't get that at all. With the Star Wars, you had Luke Skywalker and you had Princess Leia, and then when they revisited, they went back in the future and they hit on Anakin and, of course, Princess Amidala or whatever, which was blah, 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 blah. So, but they were all in the Star Wars family. With the Doctor Who, you just can't go from the old Doctor Who's Hughes, the new doctor.
Dr. Hughes.
That's my new one.
We'll see you on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
I'll be a moron.
You have to make an appointment.
I'll be a moron.
Dr. Hugh gets into his TARDIS. Is that what they call it? I didn't know what a TARDIS was. I just know the big red phone booths in London from the movie Werewolf in London.
Time and relative space. Uh-huh. Or time and relative dimensions in space. TARDIS.
Okay. But it's actually broke down to its basic form. It's a phone booth.
It's a police box, different than a phone booth, but okay.
So if you're in Britain, you can't use those boxes. Those are just for police.
They're not even there anymore. What they were boxes. One, they had phones specifically for the police to call into the station, because back then, unlike today, they didn't have radios. They had whistles, and they would blow the whistle a few times, and they had signals they would give each other through the whistles.
Well, we had those here.
Had to call back into the station, there was a phone on that. And if you arrested somebody, you obviously, they didn't carry guns. They didn't have cars. Mm. So they would lock the person in the police box and then call back to the station. And the paddy wagon would come and get them and throw them in the back of the paddy wagon.
Okay.
Unlock the box and throw them in, and they'd drive them away.
Okay. Here's the one thing. The one question of the day. What were police called in Mario England, huh? Back in the day.
Do you want me to answer that?
No, because it sounds like you might know it.
Not funny, huh? Not funny,
well, excuse me for actually knowing something.
Do you know it?
They were Bobbies.
Bobbies, absolutely. Absolutely. Huh?
I'll punch you in the mouth.
So Bobby, so if you got...
Wait, this is really ADD radio.
We're way off topic tonight.
We started talking about how all this great ghost, and I start talking about how Doctor Who had a great ghost story, and now all of a sudden we're talking about what they called police in ye olden 1960s, whatever.
We went right out. How did we get on Doctor Who? What was we talking about?
I was talking about the fact that the Doctor Who episode last night had a ghost story in it.
Right. And so what happened? You're not going to tell nobody.
I may let it slip. When we do Rock Talk, we warn people that we're going to have spoilers, but we don't know everything. It's been a whole week when we do it. Uh-huh. They've had time to watch the show. This was just on last night. I'm not going to ruin it for everybody.
Right.
Everybody loves Doctor Who except Sean, who is a barbarian, apparently.
A barbarian, yes, because I like Star Wars. I grew up with Star Wars.
Doctor Who could take Darth Vader out.
Oh, that was a huge statement for you to make.
So
huge.
Fast. His sonic screwdriver, just one little push of the button, Darth Vader's whole...
in his hole?
Little breathing apparatus just shuts down. He has an asthmatic attack, right? You know, the villain of your series has COPD.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I will, because that's a terrible statement. Darth Vader could take anybody in the galaxy. Anyway, guys, moving on. We don't need to debate that Star Wars is way greater than the TV show Doctor Who. Demon Hunter.
Wrong.
Anything else happened to you this week? What besides working? Oh, I got to tell you, my leg. I woke up Friday, and my leg was really hurting. It's been kind of hurting me at work here lately. I have this big blue vein, and it just seems to be getting larger and larger. And I'm only 37, and I have this gigantic vein in my leg.
Are you sure that it's like a varicose vein, and you don't have blood poisoning?
I could have blood poisoning. I don't know, but I've had it for a while, but it's starting to hurt. So I think we have to go to the doctor and get it cut out. Can you believe that? My first signs of aging.
Yeah, that's your first sign of aging.
It is my first sign of aging. That's it. I have all my hair. My teeth are beautiful. I got it all. So nothing really happened.
Full
exciting.
Package there, Sean. You're the full package.
I know. Nothing really happened exciting this week. I went to see the movie Oblivion today. Can't talk about that.
I have not seen that yet. What do you think?
Getting
mixed reviews.
I get a 5. I give it a 5.
Give it a 5?
Generous 5, yes.
Would it have been better if it was a cartoon?
If it was a cartoon, yes. It could have been better. Yeah, everything could be better for cartoon. If you put it, you remember the old days? They put the cartoons in front of the. Why did they stop doing that? You know your movie history. Why?
Well, basically, they stopped doing it because they didn't have to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be that people, that was the only form of entertainment. That's where you got your sent your kids on the weekend to get rid of them.
Yeah.
It was where you went to watch the news because most people didn't have TVs back at home.
Right.
So you go and you watch the news at the movie theater. You could go and they'd show a few different shorts. And if they showed three different shorts, three different nights in front of the movie, you'd go see the movie three times.
Right.
So then it just got too expensive to do that. And it became more feasible, as it were, to just discontinue it all the time. I remember going to see a Disney film when I was a kid, and they had a short at the beginning of it. And that was what was funny about that one was it was a Disney cartoon, but the short in the beginning was live action, real people.
Was it like it was like a Who Framed Roger Rabbit kind of thing. I remember.
Well, no, it was a actual, like, the cartoon itself was the main movie. They had a short before it that was people, like acting. I remember it was about some girl who was skiing and she fell asleep just before she went skiing and she was worried about her cat, leaving her cat at home. And all of a sudden she has a nightmare that the cat's chasing her on skis or something. I was 7. I don't remember it all.
So it was, it made a huge impact on your life is what you're saying.
I started taking really good care of my cat, man.
Demon Hunter.
Yes.
Without further ado, listeners around the world. Are they listening?
I think they're listening. We have people in the chat room now. So
that's good. Ready, guys? Huh?
We can continue now.
We can. We can continue. Tonight's guest.
Executive producer.
Oh, are you going to do it? Or?
I don't know. I thought I heard you rehearsing it earlier. I figured you'd do it.
From the A&E and Bio channels, one of their highest rated series guys, executive producer, writer, developer, Mark Phillips stops by studio. He's done a lot more stuff, man. We're going to talk about that. He is the man behind the spook, if you will, on the project. The big series they got out there, My Ghost Stories, Demon Hunter. Also, My Ghost Story Caught on Camera. This guy travels around. He's got, huh?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. He's got all these, he's got these two series out. He's working on a lot more stuff. We're going to get into that. But the man behind the spook.
The spook man.
The spook man. Next to the ghost man and demon hunter.
Yeah. The spook hunting man.
He's done a lot of shows before. Never one of our caliber. So I hope he.
Our caliber? You mean of our genre?
Our caliber. High caliber show. Not that we would talk about other shows because they're all awesome out there.
Oh, you mean the shows that we've done?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So you're thinking yourself something marvelous and spectacular.
Yes, indeed. But, guys, he stops by studio tonight. The big man, Mark Phillips, executive producer of My Ghost Story, caught on camera. Yeah? There you go. That's it. He's going to be in the
house. The high caliber you speak of usually includes you eating beer nuts and drinking a beer with your feet up.
Look, guys, as we all know, that since Extreme Paranormal has came out, the Ghostman kind of went into hiding. And Demon Hunter's career has flourished.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to show
Look how I flourish.
Hey, got to build that resume. Here it is, guys, the pictures. I don't know what season it was from My Ghost Story with your very own, my co-host, Nathan Schoonover. Yay!
Have you seen my wiener?
Yes, he's on the other end of this microphone.
You look very good. Somebody looks like somebody took a picture of a TV here. You were mid-sentence. Your tongue's out there.
It was the funny thing about that is you remember, Sean, when we were out filming,
Yeah. You'd
get like a pimple or something, and you'd be all worried about it. And when you'd see yourself on television, it was gone.
Yeah.
You know, we were flying out there to do the interview part of the show. We were flying out to California and I fell asleep on the plane wearing my glasses.
You got a zit?
And the glasses actually cut into my nose on the way there. So I had this huge gash down the side of my nose and I thought, oh my God, how can I do an interview? My face is all swollen and I've got the, I don't know what they do with TV magic, but I look great. I look wonderful. I'd date me.
I wouldn't say great. Well, you would always date you. Even back in the Extreme Paranormal days. But there it is, guys. Your very own host, co-host of our show, the Ghostman Demon Show, Nathan Schoonover.
Woohoo! Da, da, da.
Yeah. There it is.
I am, want to point out, Sean, that I am still using the blue e-cig.
Oh, the blue e-cig. How's that working for you, man?
Still no tobacco. Still no just doing the nicotine blue e-cig now. It's going on a month, I think, right?
I think so. About a month. Yeah, yeah.
But the embarrassing part of it is I went out and got ready for the show tonight, and I came up wearing my usual smoking jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not a smoking jacket. It's just a bathrobe.
Yeah.
I'm doing the show in my bathrobe now. I can't be like, I'm sitting here in my smoking jacket. No, I'm not smoking. Therefore, this is a bathrobe. It's a little embarrassing.
You're sitting in your bathrobe.
That's me.
What's up, homie?
I know. I wish I had a smoking jacket. I
have a Doctor Who smoking jacket, I'll have you know.
You have a Doctor Who? Hugh. Why do I keep saying Hugh, man?
I don't know. Do you got a thing for some guy named Hugh?
Hugh, I guess.
I'm ready for sex.
Hey, what? You're talking all this Star Wars versus Doctor Who and blah, blah, blah. Mm. What, you know, we're on the countdown to Iron Man.
Yes. Yes.
Iron Man and then Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek, the new Star. I seen the previews of that today. It looks good. I don't know what it's called. Into the Darkness or something like that. Yeah.
May's going to be a big month for movies.
It is going to be a big month. Of course, whenever Marvel releases something, it's always big.
But I have noticed just about everywhere you go, you can't get tickets yet to Iron Man.
Oh, no. They're going to sell that out for at least a weekend.
But it hasn't gone on sale yet.
Uh-uh. No. And it's coming out in, what, a week?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Insane.
Well, I heard they had a big premiere in England or whatever.
How do you make your plans? And how do I plan the night I'll go?
I don't know. I guess you got to be spontaneous. Take your smoking jacket and just stand out there. Get ready to buy tickets to...
sit online all night long to get my tickets to Iron Man.
Oh,
while somebody's sitting at home on the computer waiting for them to go to on sale and then just buys up all the tickets.
Where you're
while I'm like
cookie
the
monster.
Third person in line, I can't even get one.
With your Cookie Monster house slippers on and your smoking jacket.
I don't have Cookie Monster slippers.
You do too.
I do not. They were taken away. They said I might try to swallow the googly eyes.
The googly eyes. That's true. They did a story on some guy. I was watching Saturday Night Live, SNL, the other night, and they did a story on a man dressed up. I think it was in Times Square, dressed up as Cookie Monster, and it was in Hollywood or whatever. You know how they take pictures, guys down there take pictures with the kids and the people.
Yeah.
So they came through, and the guy dressed up as Cookie Monster apparently wanted a tip. He took a picture and he wanted a tip, and the lady didn't give him one, so he pushed the 3-year-old to the ground. And they said, you might forget when you see how adorable he is eating a cookie that he's still a monster. Huh?
Hey, I know, right? I've told you, I've gotten to go to New Orleans together. I have warned everybody who goes down there. I'll tell them, I love New Orleans. It's my favorite city on earth. If I could choose where I'd live, right now, that would be the place that I would want to live. But if you're walking down like Bourbon Street in New Orleans and you stop for 5 seconds to even look at a street performer, you better have money to put into that cup because they will chase you down till you pay.
Let me guess your shoe size.
Yeah.
Ooh, dear.
That was my...
Ooh, that.
Yeah.
Who dare?
Who dare? Who dare? That's how they talk down there. Remember when we went down to the bayou and the guy was talking? I didn't understand the whole... I just kind of glazed. My eyes glazed over. We were filming.
You couldn't understand him. It wasn't his fault.
Well, he called
you don't speak English?
He called that alligator mama. That's the only thing I got. Remember she was like 14 feet long or whatever?
Oh, yes, yes.
He's like, I know you guys have never driven a boat before, but, oh, yeah, mama hungry or whatever.
And we're like, that's great. That's great. Could you give us the directions on how to actually run the boat again?
Yeah, and nobody knew where the cemetery was in the swamp we were looking for. They're like, right around the bend.
They're like, oh, yeah, it's out there in the swamp somewhere.
I'm in the boat with two guys that can't swim in the middle of a swamp. Heck of a place to learn how to swim, though, you know?
Hoo-ah!
We would not have made it to the shore. Who are you kidding?
Oh, I know.
I have gone on alligator tours and not seen as many alligators since we're out there that night.
Well, we were trying to keep them away, and that one guy was feeding them marshmallows, bringing them in.
Well, it was so funny because, like, last year I took a trip down to New Orleans, and you remember Kalila Smith, our good friend Kalila, who runs the haunted tours down there?
Very googly moogly.
Yeah, Kalila, yeah.
I went out with some friends to just look at the swamp. No tours, no nothing. We just wanted to go out to the swamp. And there was, like, this muddy patch sitting in the middle of the swamp. So I jump out on the patch and put my arms out for somebody to take a picture of me. And everybody just starts yelling and screaming for me to come back in. And finally, I hop back in, and they're like, dude, it's a swamp in New Orleans. You don't jump into the middle of it and stand there and wait to be attacked. Kalila was sitting there going, we get back, and they're all telling the story, and she's just like, only you, Nathan, only you would do that.
Yeah, you jumped out of you were on a boat?
No, we were like, it was just like.
Are you a pothead, Falker?
There was a good, like a 4-foot jump from where we were standing on shore to this like muddy knoll in the middle of the swamp. So I jumped out and stood on the knoll, and maybe I was ghost hunting. You don't know.
Threw on your smoking jacket.
Don't you judge me.
Threw on your smoking jacket and said,
I'm ready for sex.
You have different ideas of how to get ready for that than I do.
Oh, that's it, man. That is it. But Demon Hunter.
Yes.
Are you ready for your exciting in the news?
Is it time for G&D in the news?
It is. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, G&D. Yeah, ba-dum-dum. G&D in the news. It's fresh. It's hot. It's always entertaining. It's new, and it starts right
now.
Wow.
It's almost perfect tonight.
Yeah, it was almost. Just think, in another 11 years, we'll have it, man.
Just like every week, it's almost perfect. And just a hint, folks, for those of you listening for the first time and for those of you listening for the 174th time, Ghost Band and Demon Hunter Show has a drinking game. Every time Sean and I misread something or mispronounce something, you need to take a drink.
Once again,
we recommend that if you are listening to this show on a podcast that you've downloaded and driving in your car, do not play this game. Especially since this week, I know neither Sean nor I have read the news before doing the show.
You'd be so drunk and confused by the end of the segment. They go crazy. But it's fun news. But we got the news. We got it started off here. Let's play some cool music for background, huh? Hey, did you see that? I put up the sign, the Shiwi. You said it's been around for a long time.
Well, I have seen it on in magazines before.
Yeah.
Going back to when I was a little kid and they would send magazines to farmers and truck drivers.
Yeah.
And one of the things was a kind of like a gas can, it looked like, for truck drivers to pee in while they were driving so they didn't have to pull over. Well, since there are female truck drivers too, they had an extension you could put on it for female truck drivers so that they could use it while driving.
An adapter, if you
will. Adapter. And I'm pretty sure what happened, how the Shiwi was invented, was truck driving woman pulled into a truck stop one night. There was a line for the ladies'
room.
Peed
in a gas can.
So she just pulled out the Shiwi out of the top of her canister there and went into a men's room and used the urinal. And that's how the Shiwi was probably born.
See? Everybody got excited.
Yeah.
To see that.
I'm ready for sex.
I am. I'm ready. Tonight, let's start with our first story, Demon Hunter. A slick mess. Slimy giant snails invade South Florida. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is by Barbara Liston-Ruder. Ready? Orlando, South Florida is fighting a growing infestation of one of the world's most destructive invasive species. The giant African land snail, huh? Who would have known that would be our extinction?
There you go. I saw it coming years ago. I said it's going to be snails.
It's going to be giant African land snails. It's all those rich people eating the Anyway, which can grow as big as a rat and gnaw through stucco and plaster.
Fun, fun.
Yeah. More than 1,000 of the mollusks, drink up guys, are being caught each week in Miami-Dade, and 117,000 in total since the first snail was spotted by a homeowner in September 2011. A spokeswoman for the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services said residents will soon likely begin encountering them more often, crunching them underfoot as the snails emerge from underground hibernation at the start of the state's rainy season in just 7 weeks. The snails attack over 500 known species of plants, pretty much anything that's in their path, and green. Fieber said, in some Caribbean countries, such as Barbados, which are overrun with the creatures, the snail shells, say that 10 times, snail shells blow out tires on the highway and turn into hurling projectiles from lawnmower blades. While their slime and excrement coat walls and pavement, it becomes a slick mess. A typical snail can produce about 1,200 eggs a year, and I thought, man, we're done. 1,200 eggs a year, one snail a year, and the creatures are particularly a pest in homes because of their fondness for stucco, devoured for the calcium content they need for their shells. Can you believe that? Now we got to worry about. I wonder if the homeowner's insurance is going to cover this now.
Well, I suppose it depends on if you have snail insurance.
Huh? The snail saga is something of a sequel to the Florida horror show of exotic species invasions, including the well-known infestation of giant Burmese pythons, which becomes established in the Everglades in 2000. There's a long list of destructive, non-native species that thrive in the state's most subtropical climate. Huh? And that comes out of Florida,
now,
guys.
Now, you know, Sean, I eventually want to move to Florida to retire one year.
Yeah. Well, you're ready.
The question is, you know, will these snails have overrun the place by then?
I don't know. Well, I'm looking at a picture of one right now, and it kind of looks like a size of a river rock. You ever seen river rocks?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, kind of looks like the size of a river rock. It does. So if you hit it with the lawnmower.
What I'm thinking is, why don't people just go and buy, like, you know, you can buy up that ground gravel for your driveway or whatever, that white stone people put on their lawns.
Yeah.
Why don't they get that chopped up out of, like, the salt stone? And you could just dig a trench around your house and put that all around. The snails won't cross it.
Yeah. You don't think the snails would cross it? Chalk salt?
No, snails can't cross salt.
How do you know?
Like witches that way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready for sex.
They'll melt.
They will melt. I remember pouring salt on them. They're going to get back at
you,
me now.
Oh, you vicious child that
vicious.
You
were. I also killed goldfish. Huh? I was a mean kid. Hey, here's one for you, Demon Hunter, because everybody knows the episode of our old television show on A&E, The Faint Heard Round the World, when Demon Hunter fainted, a.k.a. Nathan Scudero.
I passed out. There's a difference. The zombie...
Why do you get so mad?
The voodoo priest that was with us said that I was that spirits were communicating to me.
They were?
I think the spirits that were communicating to me was the Haitian rum that we were using for the ritual.
You dropped like a sack of potatoes.
I really did.
Fainting runs in families, Demon Hunter. This new study says. New study. They wouldn't lie on a new study. Megan Holohan wrote this. As a neurologist, Dr. Sam Berkovic, drink up guys, sees many patients who frequently faint. These people say they feel weak in the knees after experiencing something unpleasant. Perhaps seeing blood or being dehydrated. There you go, Demon Hunter. He began suspecting that fainting, also known as Vaskvagel, drink up guys, syncope, runs in the families. Vaskvagel syncope runs in the families.
And people keep having to drink.
Yeah, drink up, guys. And he appears to be onto something. A study by Bergvik, published today in the Journal of Neurological, finds that fainting may be genetic, and for some families, only one gene causes it. On average, about a third of the world's population are frequent fainters. It's usually trivial, not a serious health issue. The professor in the Department of Medicine at Austin Health and University of Melbourne in Australia says people who suffer from the condition faint after encountering a trigger, which can sometimes be brought on by blood, being dehydrated, seeing blood, being dehydrated, feeling stress, or experiencing pain while losing consciousness.
So basically what they're saying is stuff that would normally turn years of my stomach causes people to faint.
They wrote this wrong. Said you experience it while fainting while you're unconscious.
Ah.
Aren't you unconscious? Yeah, that's weird. But it runs in the family, Demon Hunter. They say to determine genetic underpinnings, Bergovic and his colleagues recruited 44 families with members who shared a history of fainting. Six of these families had a large number of fainters, bolstering the researchers' belief that fainting was genetic. Huh?
Ah.
So next time you faint...
One time!
We have the...
I passed out. It was 98 degrees and 86% humidity in 2 hours of rum.
Rum will do that when it's 90 degrees outside, or 190 degrees.
Yeah, it certainly felt like 190 degrees.
I'm ready for sex.
That's what you should have heard when you woke up.
I did hear it. Why do you think the producers kept you away from me?
Oh, you'd have been like, no.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
up,
How
Demon
you
Hunter.
Like
you're
hey,
up.
Hey, Husky Jesus Contest. San Francisco's annual Easter tradition, drink up. Hits this Sunday.
Yeah.
This was from last week's San... Oh, no, it's from... Yeah, from last week's San Francisco Around the Town.
I'm ready
for
sex.
It's from San Francisco, the Husky Jesus. Let's see what it says.
Hubba Bubba Jesus. Hey, Zeus.
Do a Google image search for Jesus, and you'll notice something relatively quickly.
Yes.
Most modern representations of the Son of God present him as a pretty good-looking guy. Dude.
I gotta watch you.
Long, flowing locks, piercing eyes, sculpted pecs of a professional carpenter used to working with his hands.
Now, what? Hey, where have you seen a picture of sculpted pecs on Christ?
This is from San Francisco.
I love JC, but I've never seen him work out, you know, his pictures.
Oh, well, those little details have gone unnoticed by San Franciscans.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Easter Sunday, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, the city's beloved sect of cross-dressing nuns.
What are they called?
Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
I'm ready for sex.
Host the Hunky Jesus competition in Dolores Park. Now, mind you, folks, Sean thought this said the Husky Jesus competition. Right. He wanted to go
try out for it. Who you calling a psycho?
In Dolores Park, celebrating people who look like the Lord Arts and Savior and transform him into our Lord and sexy. We believe people have the right to express their unique joy and
God,
beauty,
we're gonna die.
And we use humor and irreverent wit to expose the forces of bigotry.
Bigotry.
Yes.
You sinner. You're going to send us all straight to hell.
Complacency and guilt that chain the human spirit, the sisters explained in a statement to the Huffington Post last year.
Yeah.
The Husky Jesus competition is the highlight of the sisters' free Easter party that's been going on in the Mission Premier Public. I'm sorry, you've got me. I'm thinking of Husky Jesus now.
I know.
I thought that, and that I'm going to hell for reading this story.
Yes,
you have been going on in their public space for over three decades.
Yes.
This year's festival starts at 11 a.m., with a children's Easter egg hunt.
Will the nuns of perpetual nudity or whatever be there?
Of indulgence. Oh, the main event also featuring a bonnet contest.
Okay.
And drag performances begin at noon.
Fun for the whole family.
But there's an update, Sean. Due to a sudden rainstorm, the Husky Jesus competition was rescheduled for mid-April. So you still have a chance, Sean. You could go out there and still get in there.
I could. I got my nut.
The Hunky Jesus contest. Now you got me saying Husky Jesus.
Say?
Biggie fries.
So I think that says it all, Sean. I really think that considering I've sent us all to hell now, you folks at home who just listened to the story, you're going to. Laugh.
You guys are going straight to hell. That's terrible.
Oh, no, Jesus, I didn't laugh at that joke.
I'm glad I didn't read that story.
Get up and get on the bus.
I'm glad I didn't read that one. I am so glad because I'm going to be saved. Saved. I know I'm going. I'm out of here. I didn't read it, so. Safe. We all know JC listens to the show, man. Huh?
What's that?
JC listens to the show. He's a big fan.
So does my mom. I'm going to get in so much trouble.
You're done, man. Let's just go to commercial. You can call her. Hey, Pennsylvania woman cited for calling 911 seeking divorce, Demon Hunter.
Well, who hasn't?
Did you hear that? Yeah. Yeah, I wish I'd have called 911. Maybe I got out of that train wreck earlier. Okay, guys. From the Associated Press, Girard, Pennsylvania. Girard, PA. Police have cited a 42-year-old Pennsylvanian woman for disorderly conduct after she called 911 requesting a divorce and police assistance to make her husband leave. Troopers say the woman called just after 1 a.m. Saturday asking that officers be sent to her home in Girard Township in northwestern Pennsylvania. Where's Kenny live at? Friend of mine. Police say they explained to the woman, whom they are not identifying, that a divorce is a civil matter and that they could not make her husband leave the residence because no crime had been committed. Instead, police have cited the woman for disorderly conduct and misusing the Erie County 911 system. I love that. Yeah, I love that story. The man has triumphed once again. You don't get to say that.
You mean for the first time?
First time ever. First time ever.
Yeah, wait till they get in divorce court. Then it all changes.
Oh, yeah. Then they'll be like, okay, now it's legal. Take half. Take 80%.
Take it all.
Take it all. We want this man gone.
That's how my marriage ended. It was like the end of the War of the Roses, where the attorney just looked at me and said, you want this over quickly? Give her everything.
Yeah, just give her everything.
Okay.
That's painful. Yeah, it's painful. I think that's terrible. That's terrible. At least the man had enough sense.
I drove away in my car, and I had my recliner in the back seat. That was about it.
That was it, huh?
Yeah. Well. I think I took the microwave, too. She wanted the microwave, but I took it.
You know, men all over the nation just grabbed a little bit more of the covers because you got the microwave. That's a big thing.
They feel better now.
Yeah. What else you got?
Hey, Sean, Superhumans by 2045.
Really?
This is a news story that I got from Bizarre News. I've not used Bizarre News before, and I think the reason is I don't really see... They make some statements here, but they don't provide the proof to their story. However, I'm going to read it anyway, because, heck, it's superheroes.
This is G&D. Who needs proof?
Superhumans by 2045.
Who needs proof on this show?
Yeah. The iconic X-Men superhero may soon come out of the comic books and become reality, UK scientists claim. That genetic experts would be able to create a super race within 30 years, giving rise to superhumans like the X-Men by 2005.
Right, right.
Mutant humans like Wolverine, Storm, and Rogue from the X-Men movies are possible, scientists said.
Right.
In London. Achievements in gene technology could lead to a class of genetically superior humans by 2045. A two-day summit to predict the future reported. Really? I didn't hear anything about the summit. Okay. Human augmentation is likely to increase over the next 30 years.
All right.
Discussions highlighted that it is possible to that advances in biology shared across the society could generate genetic inequality. I have no clue what that was all about. Sean. Breaking it down here, they're saying that if one nation basically figures out how to make a genetically superior human, that the rest of the countries are going to be sitting there saying, hey, wait a minute, what about us? Because now the rest of the countries will be genetically unequal.
I got you.
I see. Wasn't there another country, another 30, 40 years ago or 50 years ago, whatever, that... England went to war with because they were trying to make a genetically perfect human?
Yeah, I don't think it worked out too well for everybody.
No.
I don't think that happened, so... I don't know. I think so. I think you're right.
This could be bad.
Fortunately,
it's 30 years from now, so let's face it. I'll be dead.
Yeah, we'll both be out of here by then. 30 years. 30 years.
Then again, I used to tell everybody 35. That's the max I'm going to make it to. So I've already outlived that one. So
I got you. I got you. Hey, Demon Hunter, let's take a quick break real fast and play a song. And we'll come back. I know this is irregular. We usually don't take two breaks in one segment, but we have to this show. But we'll be right back. What do you say, Demon Hunter?
I am fine with that, Sean. And when we come back, I've got the update on our zombie alert system.
Okay, sounds good. We should be back, guys, in about, say, 5 minutes, Demon Hunter.
If that's what you need, my friend.
Okay, man. Guys, hold on 1 second. We'll be right back with the zombie segment of the week. All right.
Hey, it's Don Wildman from Mysteries of the Museum on Travel Channel, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Yes, indeedy. Not your savior. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen around the world. I apologize for that, Demon Hunter.
You should.
I know. We had some technical difficulties here in the studio, and on top of it, Sis broke into the studio and started reading me a story. So we had to. Yeah. So listeners around the world, you got to listen to the first half of Dora the Explorer Goes Across the Bridge. So you're welcome. It was more entertaining than our news segment. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we had to.
Secure door you got there in the studio.
I know. I'm going to get a lock installed here in the studio, man. But she wanted to be here for the radio show. You know, she's grew up with us doing the radio.
Yeah.
So she gets excited. She gets excited, man, when she hears us on the air. And she'll probably broadcast one day. She could be famous, more famous than we are, right? Are we famous?
I think she probably is more famous than us, Sean.
At her daycare. Demon Hunter!
Yes.
Your segment, brother.
My segment?
Your segment.
I have a segment?
There it is.
Hi, this is Matt Milk from the Zombie Research Society. And here's your weekly update from the G&D Zombie Alert System. Now back to you, Sean and Nate.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. That's right, folks. We live in a world of uncertainty. A world where art does not just imitate life, but life sometimes imitates art. A world where the average mind is currently turned to thoughts of zombies. And we here at the D&D show want to keep our friends at the utmost preparedness for, I don't know, maybe it's a word, for a possible zombie outbreak.
Outbreak!
That's why each week we provide our listeners with the most up-to-date information that we could mean the apocalyptic situation is on its way. We search the CDC for words like outbreak and NOAA for other organizations for news of chemical and biological spills, as well as searching the news for unsettling reports of attacks that could mean an unexpected change in human behavior.
Don't be a moron.
So, we can bring it to you in what we call the Zombie Alert System, brought to you by Midnight Syndicate and the Zombie Research Society.
Actually, your creation is called the Zombie Advisory System of the G&D.
Well, it was called the Zombie Advisory System till we asked Matt to do the recording, and he said Zombie Alert System. We changed it, remember?
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for pointing that out, Sean. It's Zombie Alert System.
Yeah.
That was my fault. I asked them to do the recording, didn't make it clear. So it's the Zombie Alert System. It's brought by Midnight Syndicate and Zombie Research Society. And it starts right now. Right? Yes. So what a week we've had with bombs going off at the Boston Marathon and reports of deadly ricin being shipped in the mail to President Obama. These reports directly affect our status in the Zombie Advisory Department. Despite there being only one potential spill of harmful chemicals since the hydrogen sulfate report in Louisiana earlier this month, the CDC is currently helping with explosion-related illnesses as reported by the Health Alert Network.
Uh-huh.
Whenever a ground-level explosion takes place around a group of people, those exposed can be affected not only by the contents of the bomb, but also anything that the explosion may have dug up from the scattered debris surrounding the area. On top of this, the CDC is following an outbreak of a new avian flu. That's bird flu, Sean. That has been reported in China.
Yeah.
Where the first three reports of H7N7 influenza A was reported on April 1st.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
They're creeping closer.
I'm ready for six.
Since then, additional cases have been reported.
Mm.
Most reported cases have severe respiratory illness and in some cases have died. No cases of H7N9 have been reported in birds or humans in the U.S. as of this date.
Right.
The ricin package sent to the president. Many people may not know that ricin is not a chemical attack, but is a natural occurring protein in the castor or castor oil plant, which could therefore be considered more of a biological attack. What worries me about the is that the FBI has not released any information of where the Elvis impersonator alleged to have mailed the original package managed to order or get ricin. So no news where the alleged mail order assailant got the poison.
Maybe he got it from Elvis.
Hey, Elvis told him where to get it.
Thank you very much. Hey,
for these reasons, we are raising the zombie alert status to elevated,
yes.
Despite the fact that no zombies have been sighted. For one reason, we would rather play it safe now than be a lot sorry later.
Right.
And for another, with The Walking Dead currently off the air and making new episodes, we're full of anticipation and a little bored. So play it safe, folks. And if you see a mailman walking around with a hungry look in his eye or an undead bird in the tree outside, you might want to wait until they move on before going out into the daylight. In the meantime, download some Ghostman and Demon Hunter show archives. After the apocalypse, they will be a great lot of fun to listen to.
Yes, while you're hiding out in your bunker.
What the fuck was he talking about?
I have no idea.
Oh, I should have bleeped that clip out.
Yeah.
Mark the time.
I'll have to find that later. Thanks.
Oh, that was great, man. Hey, that was good. Good delivery. You know, that puts us only two steps away from the highest alert.
I know. Well, hopefully next week.
Being in red.
You know, we'll have some news about where he got the rice in, and the reports from the CDC will come back that all is clear, and get news that this new avian flu is not going to be a threat. At which case, we'll lower the level. Also, there might be a new movie or something that comes out that we won't be so bored, so we won't be thinking zombies as much.
Zombies. It's like people are praying for a zombie attack. It gets so boring at some points, you know.
People think that they'll survive a zombie attack. They're sitting there thinking, you know, I'll be the one to make it. I'll be there with Rick, and we'll be fighting the zombies together. And, like I said, do you remember the power outages? 3 days without a shower, people were just going crazy.
I remember that. But they'll make it during a zombie apocalypse.
Yes, yes. So. No showers for 3 months. Let's see you deal with that crusty butt.
Yeah. Can you? That's what I thought about on The Walking Dead. Could you imagine the smell in that prison?
Ugh.
Huh?
I know.
I don't think it would work.
It would be like sharing a room with you while we were traveling on the road.
I know. And they're having sex and stuff on the show.
I'm ready for sex.
But I guess when you smell bad and the lady smells bad, it's like being in Europe.
No, the comments of Sean Burris did not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or other affiliates.
Slow tonight, but there's my first zinger. Zing! Sorry, Europe. I love all you guys. They know it. We got a lot of fans in Europe.
We did.
I know a lot of good looking.
We're huge in Manila.
They smell good. Yeah, Manila. Manila's safe. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Europe. Anyway, Demon Hunter, the hour is up on us.
It is.
You know, it's kind of up on us.
It's getting there.
It's getting close. There. It is close. It's
almost there. You know, you don't want to go too early. We had that happen that one night. We were all anticipating our guest, and we called a little early, only to find that they weren't ready.
It's happened more than once.
Are you a pothead, Falker?
You know. Oh, well.
But, hey, I am I'm scanning just through some stuff here.
Yeah, scan through.
Trying to remember some of the other things I wanted to talk about tonight,
Oh, I
John,
did.
And I can't think of any.
While you're scanning, I did want to say, guys, the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show, our hearts go out to the people of Boston that suffered that tragedy earlier this week. Guys, we're so glad that we got the guys that caused that, and we hope that justice is swift.
Well, we didn't personally get the guys.
No, we didn't. But we were rooting for the police that did.
We were rooting, yes. I still, Sean, I was on my way home when they said, you know, an explosion has occurred at the Boston Marathon on the news.
Yeah, you tell me that.
And I shot home, turned on the TV, and you know, they were still, nobody knew what was going on at that point. And I remember I was staring at the TV, and my roommate was standing next to me.
Yeah.
And you know, we watched the explosion on rerun, and I went, wow, that's a really poorly made bomb. That's you can tell by the white smoke and how the bomb kind of went up instead of out, and so very little damage was done around it. That fence was almost still standing, that makeshift fence. So I was like, you know, this was not a professionally done bombing. And he just stared at me and was like, how do you know that, you know? And then 5 minutes later, the news came on and said, you know, well, due to the white smoke and the way the bomb exploded, we're pretty sure this was not a professionally made bomb. And then he looked at me again and went, you just scare me, Nathan.
You know,
you shouldn't
too much.
Know these things, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, you know, idiots. And, you know, they got those people on there. Boston, hats off to you guys. They closed the entire place down to catch these.
They closed Boston. I had people emailing me pictures from Boston.
Yeah.
Of all the streets deserted. It was like watching a zombie apocalypse film.
Well, I mean, yeah. that's the way to do it. I mean, if you want to get them, don't mess around. Get people off the streets. Don't want to get people hurt. It's just Boston that manned up. That was awesome. Because you can't be ready for something like that. You got these poor people out here jogging or running this marathon, you know. And
for a good cause.
Yeah, and these two idiots decide, hey, you know what would be a good deal? People just anger me, you know.
You need anger management.
I do. And then the one goes to MIT. I've been an American citizen all my life. And I couldn't afford to go to MIT. This cat's going to be a college graduate from MIT, and he still decides doing what he did was a great idea. Idiot!
Hey, Sean, can you hold on 1 second there? I have a call coming in, which might be from our guest.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. But anyway, guys, like I was saying, hearts go out to Boston for the loss and actually the great victory that they got by bringing these two morons to justice. And I can't believe things like that still happen in the world. But anyway, tonight's guest, we was talking about him a little bit earlier. Hopefully everything's still going good. He's from the A&E Bio Channels, executive producer, writer, developer, Mark Phillips, guys. And he's done the real ghost story stuff. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've seen a lot of different ghost hunting groups and stuff like that have been on his show. It seems like it's, and we'll talk about this when he comes on, but it seems like it's really open to having a lot of the smaller groups and stuff that are out there and making them like stars, you know, putting them, giving them their time in the spotlight. And I like that. And I like the fact that it gets more away from the people and more into the story. Because, I mean, that's what sells it for me. The ghost story.
Are you a pothead, Falker?
Yeah, is what sells it for me. And the Great American Ghost Story. I've always loved those shows about that. And I wanted to talk to you guys about the new show coming out, The Conjuring. The Conjuring's coming out. I forget the exact date, but it's coming out like in 3 months, something like that. And it's the real life, or I don't know about the real life, a real life case story, a case they worked on about the Warrens. Hats off to Ed and Lorraine Warren. Of course, Ed's passed on. Lorraine's still around. And the world's, I would say, I mean, I can't confirm this, but one of the first demonologists. And, of course, cases like this they worked on, they were made famous from. And, of course, there are many tours and lectures and stuff like that. The Amityville Horror. And apparently, this house And I don't have the information in front of me, but this house that's going to be the movie The Conjuring is going to be about was their first case before the Amityville Horror. And from what I hear, it's going to be amazing. And I watched the previews. You can go to YouTube and watch it. And you see Lorraine, the actress playing Lorraine. She turns around and says, this place is evil, Ed, and all this. So hats off to Lorraine and Ed. I know he's passed on.
There you go.
Yeah, they've done a lot of work in the community, so kudos. About time the big screen put the main light on them for once.
Well,
yeah,
there was the Amityville Horror that put the main light on them, and
yeah, but it wasn't about them. This is actually about the ones. Oh, okay. The Amityville Horror was about the Amityville Horror house, and the activity there. So,
well, you want to take our break, buddy, and when we come back.
I guess so. Guys, we're going to go to break again. Sorry about the interruption before. From the A&E Bio Channel, tonight's guest, executive producer, Mark Phillips, guys, from My Ghost Story, My Ghost Story, caught on film, the man behind the ghost. Huh? Let's play. I forgot to play the music.
I like that. That's good.
The man behind the ghost. We'll be asking him the tough questions. What are the tough questions, Demon Hunter? What's your shoe size? Okay, guys, we'll be right back. Enjoy the music. Tonight's band, we forgot to give that, The Scared Stiffs. The Scared Stiffs. Check them out on Facebook, guys. They are a all-punk horror band. So we'll be right back with Mark Phillips, executive producer of My Ghost Story.
Someone who's been freshly buried. Check his inventory.
From the Zombie Research Society, also seen on AMC's Talking Dead, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, listeners around the world, welcome back. This is your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. One of your hosts, Ghost Man Sean B. Demon Hunter, what's going on, man?
That would be me, yes. Did you hear me talking in there? I'm sorry.
No, I didn't hear you.
Oh, okay,
you.
Good.
I had
good.
You
then
muted.
You're doing your job right.
So. I am. I did it right for that. Actually, tonight, I'm all off, man. The kid ran into the studio. I don't know what to do.
Hey, but we've got somebody waiting on the line. Who, you know what his big claim to fame, Sean, is more than anything else?
Actually,
this man has achieved.
I do. I got the list in front of me, but go ahead.
He made me look good. So let's welcome.
Yeah, let me go ahead and do his thing, guys. From A&E and Bio Channel, one of the highest rated series productions. He is writer, developer, executive producer Mark Phillips of My Ghost Story. Mark, what's going on, brother?
Hey, where's the applause? Come on.
Oh, hold on. I got to find that clip for you.
Get the applause.
Wait. You a pothead fucker?
Oh, no, that was right. Hold on. Maybe get this one here.
You were saying
it's good to be with you.
Oh, I can't find it, Mark. I didn't have it queued up.
You should have, like, an applause sample.
Here we go.
Here's Mark Phillips. Yay!
Oh, wait. That's laughter. That's terrible.
That's usually the one that Sean saves for me.
Mark, thanks for coming on, man. I've heard you done a couple shows in the past, and I listened to some of them, but we tried to be original, and I was going through all your work and all the things you've done, and I want to hit on all of it tonight, as I'm sure Demon Hunter does, but you've done so much in the film industry, even before My Ghost Story, and I guess, where do we start? At the beginning, you know? Did you grow up loving ghosts and ghost stories?
No, not really. To me, it's all about storytelling.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. All my career, which I started in Canada as a very young man of 19.
Hey.
It's always been about storytelling, nonfiction storytelling. I've done it all my career. I mean, I have done a few scripted shows, but
right.
It's all been about nonfiction storytelling. And I've had an interest in the paranormal arena for many, many years, and tried to figure out exactly what I want to do. And this all came about because of my ghost story. That is, it came about because of a show I did on Court TV, which is now True TV, called Inside Predator Task Force.
Yeah.
And it was a very, very well-received and extremely dark show. And somebody at A&E saw it and got a hold of me and said, gee, can you do something for us? And I suggested the idea of doing a show called, forget what I called it. Hauntings Revealed is what I called it. And it was, basically my ghost story.
Right.
And they came back, and when they ordered it, and said, but we want to call it My Ghost Story.
Yeah.
And to which I thought, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
It is. It's brilliant. It's what A&E does so well. They're just so great at branding their shows.
Oh, yeah.
And, that sort of personalizes it, because that's what makes My Ghost Story work. It's actually called My Ghost Story Caught on Camera.
Well,
and what makes it work is...
Mark, isn't that two separate projects?
Personal. I mean, you've been on the show, it's very personal stories. People who have had these experiences look in the camera and say, this happened to me. That happened to me. I was here, I was there, that's what happened to me, and look, this is these are the pictures I took.
Right.
This is the audio I recorded. This happened to me. And to me, that... the essence of great storytelling.
Now, isn't that...
It doesn't matter whether I believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
But they do, and they do with such compassion, and they have this fascinating evidence that underlines their story,
uh-huh.
and that brings a visual sensibility to their story, and it's like, wow, this is great stuff.
Well, I don't think it is. The stories are amazing, but hats off to you as a director and as a writer. And Nate and I have never on your level, but we both mess with film, and I love editing here at home. Nothing. I don't have to present nothing to A&E, but I love doing that. But you bring home the story, like you said before, and the story is brought home by when you hear the person talking.
Exactly.
You could have the Pillsbury Doughboy up there, but the darkness behind him and the shades of red and the...
He's on next week.
Yeah. He would go, hoo-hoo, you know, but you could have him up there and he could tell a spooky story and people would be like, wow. Yeah, Pillsbury Doughboy's scary, man. But, yeah, you do, man. You bring it home with the setting. And it's the visual display that people see followed by the story and the low lights and all that. You know, what do you think about that? What is that? Do they teach that in film school? The backdrop and the set?
I didn't really go to film school. My undergrad is in communication arts, and my master's degree is in business. So, you know, it's not, and actually some of the more interesting producers and editors that I've hired over the years didn't go to film school. They've learned the art of making television, but they have, you know, a different kind of background.
Right.
That's not to say it's not valuable to Hudi Ayalon, who was the second in my company, the vice president of my company. He went to AFI.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the more interesting editors that I've worked with over the years he's an anthropology graduate from USC.
No.
The fact that he went to USC, I hold against him, but...
Trojan man.
Exactly. Dead. University of spoiled children.
USC. Yeah. Snotty.
University of Saudi California.
It's funny, Mark, because one of the things I've noticed is I'm always watching new paranormal shows pop up on television, and I'll watch the first half of the episode, and I'm like, wow, this is a lot like my ghost story. The same production company must have made it. And then the show will be over, and I'll Google search it, and it's a different company. I'm like, wow, they just literally tried to steal my ghost story.
Oh, it's happening everywhere now.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
happening everywhere. It's actually a bit disconcerting because that's not how I develop shows. I always try to zig on the zag. I always try to do something different, and which is where my ghost story came from. Everybody, you know, there are all these ghost hunting shows out there, and you know, my ghost story's not that. It's about, you know, regular people. There are indeed investigators who were on our show, but it's not positioned that way. It's positioned that they are there to bring some kind of credential to the to the story that takes place. And indeed, it could have been them who captured the evidence. So it is disconcerting to me. But you know, what can I say?
Well, that's the thing, Mark. When we're setting out around
imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Bam, bam, bam. Said it here live on the G&D show. Hey, that's what I was saying. When we're out there around the campfire and we're having a couple beers and we're kicking back, when I was 13 or whatever, and
you were drinking those sodas.
And you know,
now, why did you say that campfire?
I don't know. Well, because out back, you know, you're around the campfire, you tell spooky stories. That's what my ghost story
because
for me.
That's the essence.
That's it.
That is the essence of my ghost story.
Absolutely is, and I can feel that in my soul.
You have to think of it this way.
Yeah.
That my ghost story is like people sitting around a campfire telling their stories, and then they show their evidence. And you've been there. You've been on set. You know what it's like.
Oh, yeah.
It's a dark, spooky, you know, backdrop that looks like a midnight sky. And in the left lower and right lower corners, there are these orange glowing, what we call globos, which are basically they're lights that get lighter and darker slowly and sort of in their own sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally you see that in the lower right and lower left corners of the screen as the storytellers are telling the stories. And that is... That's the campfire.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's the essence of my ghost story. Well, that's very cool that you picked that up.
Well, thank you. What I was going to say is, if you... I'm sorry, Nate.
I was just going to say, I never really got to sit down and talk to you, Sean, about when I was on the set there.
No, you didn't.
You know, they brought me in. You know, it's this beautiful studio. They're sitting in the back. Like I said, they made me look good, which is hard to do, and in the back room. And then they bring me in. And it's like this dark warehouse that I walked in, and I was like, this isn't really a TV show, is it? You're going to kill me now.
Well, I remember when we had our own TV show, going into the places we filmed was the spookiest stuff. And you had told me you went into like a huge warehouse when you did my ghost story, and it was real spooky.
Well, it's actually a studio. It's a real television studio.
Oh, yeah.
No, okay. Okay. Well,
it's this huge studio, and I thought, oh, you know, it's light, it's airy, blah, blah, blah. I'll be sitting behind a desk or something. No. I was like, oh, I'm a dead man.
Well, my ghost stories, for me, takes out the human factor, the drama. And people are just so sick of seeing that. You know, Mark, with every day you work with, you know, people all day long. When you come home and watch TV, you kind of want the human aspect kind of take it out of it, because like you said, with the ghost story, when you're sitting around the campfire, somebody puts out a ghost story, I could tell you about the ghost of Reeder Road, and it doesn't matter if the real guy's name was Johnny, I could say, oh, it was Bobby and Tina, and they were driving down the road one rainy night, and it's just as good, it's just as valid, you know what I mean? And that's right. What my ghost story does, it, like you said, it brings home the American ghost story, and it does it like nobody else can, man. And it's an amazing show. And like with Extreme Paranormal, when we did that, Nate, they put us in there. But I always thought, you know, our show we had was a story. We were bringing out the story, the legend.
The original idea was for us to go out and listen to other people's stories, and then go out and try and experience it for ourselves.
Yeah,
right.
And not to hunt down the facts or the truth or anything like that. And then you know, it. In editing, it got changed, but that happens too.
We should have went with Mark. Just
We should have gone to Mark and had him film us.
Said, Mark, we got this idea.
That's like when you go out and you get these stories, and I know you came back. Then you send people out to actually film the locations to get the
actual. The process is this: people submit their stories to us, and we then conduct a Skype interview with them over the. Over the internet, if we can, or we send them a flip phone and with a bunch of questions that they have to answer, and then we select the stories, and it's based, you know, A, on how good of storytellers they are, and B, the level of evidence that they had to show us. And then we fly them to Los Angeles, and we put them up in a nice hotel. Mm-hmm. We take care of them. We drive them to our studio, and we sit them in front of two cameras in that what you described as a warehouse. It's not. It's actually.
It's
really,
not. I'm sorry, Mark. I wasn't downplaying
it. It's a studio, and
it's a beautiful studio. I walked in. I was a little spooked out by the inside.
Right, and we then. It takes about an hour per storyteller. There's generally two storytellers a story, and they tell us the story. And we have a producer who is assigned to work with the storyteller. And, you know, we help them frame and elicit, the most important parts of the story. Sometimes, you know, the stories are a bit more complex, and there are two or three different things going on. We had to figure out which one we want to concentrate on. And when they come to Los Angeles, they bring with them their evidence, which we then digitally copy. We then, once that's done, several weeks later, a field producer will go to their location where it happened, and we'll shoot what we call point of view B-roll.
Uh-huh.
It's not reenactment. It's just the storyteller's point of view, what they saw, where they saw it, when it happened, so forth and so on. And we then send that tape back to Los Angeles, and we cut it all together, and it all ends up being somewhere from a 5 to 7 minute story. There's generally probably about 20 to 30 hours of tape that for every story. So it's the real process is cutting it down and getting to the essence of it. We have some very good editors who work on the show, and it's the highest rated show on A&E Bio. It's probably one of the most handsome shows on A&E Bio. In case your audience wants to know when it airs, it's on Saturday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central.
There you go.
And our lead-in is always a repeat of Michael's story, which is at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. So Saturday night is kind of the night for Bio and Michael's story.
Got it. So that's my ghost story at 10 p.m. Eastern. I'm kidding.
Right.
Yeah. No.
Thank you.
Hey,
thank
Mark.
You. And by the way, if anyone in your audience wants to submit a story, let me tell you right now how you can do that.
Uh-oh.
And so they can have, you know, a nice experience like you had and come out here and join us. And they can go to the Bio website, the A&E Bio website, and there's a link there where they can submit a story. And, you know, that's a good way to do it. And at that link, they can also watch full episodes of Michael's story.
Yeah.
They can also see some testimonials of people who work on the show who have had these bizarre and crazy experiences while working on the show, especially some of our field producers who've gone out to these locations and have been pushed and touched and scratched and captured amazing stuff on camera, which we have used in the stories.
I was going to ask you, Mark, if like your field producers ever went out and shot something and then contacted you and said, not going back there.
Yeah, it's happened many times. Some of our field producers have talked about it. Others don't want to. Which is kind of natural, you know. It's kind of natural.
Yeah, but on a show called My Ghost Story, come on, tell us.
No, you know, there are some people. I'd like to tell this story. There's a few months back, I walked into the studio, and the storyteller on camera, you know, walked into the control room where all the monitors are, and the storyteller is a woman dressed in a police uniform. And I'm going, oh, wow, this is great. I love it. Just the fact that it's a police woman, you know, who's telling a ghost story.
I'm cueing your music, Mark.
And she's talking about a, you know, footage that was captured on a security camera, and then these things that have happened to her there, and these apparitions that have been caught on camera, and the fact that this police station used to be a morgue, and blah, blah, it goes on and on and on and on. I go, wow, this is great. A police woman. And the producer looks at me and goes, Mark, it's not just a police woman. She's the chief of police in a small, you know, town in Ohio. And I'm thinking, wow. And her husband's a cop, too.
Ouch.
Now, do you know what it took for her, given her position in life, to come forward and talk about this story? I mean, it's okay for you and me. I mean, you're on a radio show. I mean, you know, unfortunately, I live in Los Angeles and I'm a TV producer.
Oh, yeah, unfortunately.
I don't particularly like it here. You know, if I had to live someplace in America, I wouldn't live here, but I'm here because of my business.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it would be considered practically normal for me to come forward and tell a ghost story. But a chief of police from a small town in Ohio, come on.
Yeah, a lot to risk.
That takes guts.
Well, it's funny, too, because, like, Sean and I, being in the business we're in, we'll be at a party, and people who you would never expect it from see us standing like over there, and they find out what we do, and they'll pull us over and go, do I have a place for you to check out? And then afterwards you find out like it's a doctor or a lawyer or something like
Hold
that.
Hold on, Nathan, I need to play your scary music like I did for Mark here? Hold on. I queued that up, Mark, right in the middle of your segment when you were talking about the story.
Right, thanks.
It was great. Well, you wanted the laughter, so I played you scary music. I got you back, bro.
Yeah. Now, when you You obviously go over a lot of this stuff yourself when you're going over stuff. Is there ever a story you're sitting there and you're watching it and going, okay, you know, that's we've got to use this part because that's going to make me not sleep tonight. You know, it's that for me is the test. I would rather somebody tell me that they would rather, you know, I would rather have someone tell me that they couldn't sleep that night from something that I had said or done or shown them than tell me they had that I was had this awesome like joke that I told or whatever.
Yeah.
So Mark,
I'm sorry, I lost the point of your question.
Oh yeah, that happens. We're ADD DJs. What can I say?
I didn't get that, sir.
Is there ever like something you're watching on there going, we have to use this because I'm watching this clip and I'm not going to sleep tonight?
No, never.
No.
The scarier that it is, the better.
Bring it home. That's how you do it. Bring it home. I know Stacy, my fiance, she watches that. And she watches it. And it's pretty cool, Mark, because you did all those crime stories, stuff like that. You were big into the law enforcement and crime. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But she watches that all the time. She'll watch her crime mystery movies, then she'll switch over to my ghost story because it follows that line. You know, the interviews, the darkness, what happened. You know, you always used to have that one guy come on, what was that, on the Crime and Mystery Channel or whatever. In 1972, her head was found in the backseat of her husband's car. You know, that one guy.
Hmm? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what my ghost story does for her.
I mean, we like good dark stories, but at the same time, they're also uplifting and interesting, you know, spiritual stories. In fact, we've developed a spinoff of my ghost story called Love Never Dies, which is basically family stories of people who believe that their loved ones who have passed on are still looking over them.
Yeah.
And we've done a number of those kinds of stories on My Ghost Story.
You hear that a lot.
And to me, you hear it a lot, yeah. And, you know, I think it's a show unto itself. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens.
What do you think, Mark? Questions of the day, brother. What do you think about the paranormal, the supernatural?
Well, I've had a couple of experiences, but I really, my role in all of this is really just as a storyteller. That's what I do for a living. I tell other people's stories, and I try not to get too invested in it, because my role is to tell other people's stories. That's what I do.
Sometimes you just look into their eyes.
I don't ever really go on the record and say, you know, this is what I believe, because it's not important. What's important is that
the story.
I try to find interesting people with interesting stories with interesting evidence, and put it into my television show. You know, My Ghost Story Caught on Camera, which, by the way, runs on Bio, A&E Bio, Saturday nights at 9 Eastern. Did I say that before?
I think you
might
have said
that. That's 8 Central.
Well, it's interesting because what you're saying, Sean and I are, we do the same thing, but Sean and I attack it from exactly the opposite way. We've called ourselves the American pickers of storytellers because we go out to find the people's stories where they come to you.
Because I'm funny,
right.
And you're not.
Yeah, well, you're just hilarious. you also control the laugh can.
I do.
See? I get laughs too.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Dude, you need to get some applause in there.
Hold on a second. I think I got it. Wait, I got to switch scenes. We're doing a live live picture thing show going out on Ustream Live right now, Mark. I couldn't get any pictures of you. You're so elusive. You're like Bigfoot.
They sent us one photo of you playing your guitar.
Yeah, from a cell phone or something. You're a heavy metal rocker, too. I want to get into that, man.
Well, you know, I because of some of the law enforcement shows that I've done, I've kind of stayed off of Facebook and YouTube. I'm probably going to change that a bit soon.
Yeah.
I just try to fly underneath the radar.
Yeah.
He does have a secret YouTube or a secret Facebook up there, Sean, called Mark Phillips. Instead of that, it says Philip Marks.
Oh, is that top secret for only my ghost story people?
Yeah.
People in the loop. I like that.
Philip Marks, really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I figured. That's not you? I assume that was you on there on Facebook.
No.
Oh, okay. I better unfriend him then. That would explain the scary pictures he was sending me.
It's, well, it's not fake anymore.
I think the only image of me on the web is me playing my Rickenbacker at a guitar conference in Colorado.
Can you give out the name of your band?
No, not Colorado, Montana.
Can you give out the name of your band?
The Covers.
The Covers. Now, is that rock? Is that hardcore or alternative or what?
Well, we call ourselves The Covers because all we do is cover songs.
Cover band.
Yeah, we're a cover band. We call ourselves The Covers. Fuck it. Come on.
Yeah. Bring it home. I play guitar and mandolin terribly, but I do play it. I do.
You play mandolin, really?
I do, man. I rock it. My dad used to be in a bluegrass gospel band when I grew up. And he used to play. He taught me some licks on it. So I can play all kinds of gospel hymns, huh? One
no,
thing is, I don't go to
church. I bought a mandolin, and it's at my office. We have a jam room. In fact, I was jamming for an hour and a half before going on the show.
Yeah.
And it's a full-on jam room, you know, with drums and PA and
right.
You know, maybe 5 different amps and 20 different guitars. And I have a mandolin at home. I bought it because I did some music for a show that I, for a pilot that I did for True TV, and I needed to play mandolin. And I just, like, hacked around on it. I also bought one of those 6-string banjos.
Yes.
Those are very, very cool. Very, very cool.
I like them. I tried to play clawhammer. I took lessons for about 3 months, and I gave up. I shouldn't have done it. You got clawhammer, and you got Bill Monroe style, or is it the scratch?
I know,
style?
But those 6-string banjos, you know, you just play it like a guitar. It's tuned like a guitar, but it sounds like a banjo. In fact, one of the pieces on the True pilot was that I played with the Jaws theme on banjo. It's hilarious. It sounds hilarious.
I kind of had to insist Sean stop playing the banjo because every time I'd show up at the studio, all of a sudden I'd hear ding, 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 ding. I didn't want to come in. It was a little scary.
See? A lot of people don't know, though, the banjo is the great American instrument. I mean, it's one of the oldest. I love playing it. Great sound. You can't beat the sound.
The great sound.
Yeah, you can't beat it.
And used properly. In fact, if you ever listen to... I don't know if you're a fan of Robert Plant and Alison Krauss.
Yes.
But there's a live version of Black Dog that they sing together, and it has a banjo riff in it.
Right.
Which is great. It's really great.
Hey, you know, here goes my ADD. How do you, Mark, how do you scan through these stories? Because you must get 40,000 of them a week. All across the country. How do you go that one, that one, that one, and that one? How do you do it?
I have a really brilliant staff who do it because I don't do it myself.
Okay.
And, we have our criteria, the criterion that we look for, and we have a research staff who looks through them and looks at the storytellers, the evidence, the historical implications. You know, there are things that we look for because it's what makes our show what it is. I mean, we look for, first of all, good, interesting storytellers. It doesn't matter what you look like. That's not the point. It's can you tell this story? Next, do you have interesting evidence? Do you have compelling evidence? And is there some kind of background to the story that makes it something special? Because it's about your family. Because it's about your loved ones. Because it's about some historic aspect of the place where it happened. Is there an animal involved? Is there a long-lost relative involved? Is there a long-lost love involved? all of these, you know, all of these aspects of the story are important, and that's what we look for.
I found it very interesting how important you made the people telling the story, because I didn't know any of you guys, and when they contacted me, from the moment they decided that they were interested in the story I was in, the Pratchett House, right up to the time I got out there, the producer who was working with me, Adam, stayed like with me the entire time. By the time I got done filming, I felt like he was a friend of mine.
Well, that's an important part of what we do, because we know that the people, and this is probably less so with you because you're a radio host and you're used to getting on air and talking about this stuff. But most of our storytellers aren't like you. They're just, you know, regular folk who, you know, you sit them down in front of a camera and it's like, so our producers, they really try to connect with the storytellers so they can help them, tell what they need to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear from a lot of them that they forget that there are cameras there because they're sitting in that studio, but they're so connected to the producer that it's like sitting in a living room and telling their story, even though there's a crew of about, you know, 12 to 15 people who were there and involved, cameraman, lighting man,
right,
makeup, hair, all that kind of stuff.
Now, I will say, Mark, once we had Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, come on our show and she told her ghost story, and I got to tell you, brother, while I was staring at her, I totally forgot. I didn't hear a word she was saying at her. Guess where my eyes were? No, I'm kidding. I didn't. Really.
Is she still working?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. When she came on here, she was doing the
the
horror nights that we were helping her promote.
And My Elvira, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
There was some cross-dressers and stuff dressing up like Elvira. But,
We've had a lot of interesting things on the show.
Yeah. We've been on about 6 years now, Mark. So we've had, the first time we've had you on, though. This was a treat to have you on, man. Talking about my ghost story. The brains behind my ghost story.
It's,
or a semi-brain.
Well, then you fit right in. It's,
this is the show for you.
We've never had you on the show before, Mark. Could we possibly get to you to say that this is Mark Phillips and you're listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show?
Yeah, this is Mark. What did you want me to say again?
is Mark Phillips and you're listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show?
Yeah, this is Mark Phillips and you're listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. And I'll do that one more time.
You could say executive producer of
This is
My Ghost Story.
Mark Phillips. I'm the executive producer of My Ghost Story, which airs Saturday nights on Bio at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 Central. And I'm on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. And hopefully they're not hunting after me.
Hold on, I just want to add, this is Mark Phillips, and I love, they're the greatest guys out there. My number one radio show in the world, Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
See, folks, normally this would have happened off the air, but since we had a shorter break tonight.
Yeah, well... Studio.
I didn't get a chance to record with Mark.
Live radio, folks. Technical difficulties.
You guys are too much.
Oh, Mark. It's funny. A few weeks ago, we had... Sean. Who? Now I'm losing my mind here.
Who? Guess, Mysteries at the Museum? What?
No, before that. The week before that.
Doug Jones.
Week after that.
Walking Dead.
Michael Rooker. We had Michael Rooker on. And he was laughing so hard we couldn't get him to say.
Yeah, his lines.
His line about being on the show. And finally we just said, that's okay. Well, it's okay. Don't worry about it. And we just used him laughing for his intro.
That's the thing about having you on, Mark. You do this, brother. You do My Ghost Story and, for love of the game, not the fame. Does that make any sense? Because people can see that. It comes through in your production. You do this for the love of the story. And people feel what you put into your production. And I know I feel it. And it's a tribute to the American ghost story. And it's perfect.
It's all about good storytelling. That's what, you know, that's what television should be, whether it's about ghosts or whether it's about crime or whether it's about love, you know. It's all about good storytelling.
That's it.
I would like to throw this one other thing out, saying how wonderful your crew is. Well, now I smoke e-cigarettes all the time because I don't smoke anymore, but real cigarettes. But when I flew out to you guys, I was still smoking.
Come on, you were smoking crack.
Rock!
Your producer said they would never tell.
And I seen a ghost in the bathroom.
I saw this white. Hey, I don't like cocaine. I just like the way it smells.
Terrible.
That's funny. I've never heard that before.
Feels good on my teeth.
But I was actually, since I had to fly the long flight out to California with a stop in between, I brought an e-cigarette with me. And they're expensive. And I got out there, and I was sitting in the back room, and I left the charger for it in your studio. And your production crew contacted me, told me they had it, and sent a driver over to the hotel with my battery before I flew back the next day.
Now, that's class. Well, that is class.
You know what? We may not be a big budget show, but we try to take care of our people.
And you do. You do.
That's it. Hey, Demon Hunter, Mark, I think, guys, the hour is upon us. What do you think?
I'd say it's probably around there.
I guess so. Hey, Mark, brother, I got to say, stay on the line for 1 second. Keep doing what you're doing, man. The American Ghost Story has been brought back home by you, sir, and your crew. So keep up the good work, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
And yes, Mark, please stay on the line for one more minute while we finish up what we have to say here, Sean, because like I've always said, we're all about the ghost story. That's not proven any more than with tonight's episode. My ghost story caught on camera right here on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Mark Phillips, thank you so much. And Sean, who do we have to thank tonight?
We have so many people to thank, but a very special thank you to tonight's guest from A&E Channel, the Bio Channel, executive producer of My Ghost Story, guys, and much, much more, Mark Phillips. Mark, thanks for coming on, brother.
Thank you.
You bet. Okay, guys, special thanks goes out to some of our sponsors. Let's pay the bills. Creations by Souls Denounce, guys. That's soulsdenounce.com. Check them out for all your Souls Denounce needs. We're going to find out what those are for one day, Demon Hunter.
My soul's been denounced many times.
That's it. Hey, guys, special thanks to tonight's band, Scared Stiffs. Check them out on Facebook, scaredstiffs.com, all across the country. Great music, guys. Midnight Syndicate, thanks for being here for us, guys. And Serial Weird, that's a new magazine coming out. Serial Weird, Demon Hunter. It's good.
That sounds like what we have for breakfast in the morning.
That's it, guys. Hey, from the haunted back roads of America, this has been another G&D exclusive interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Hey, Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
We love you, guys. Good night.